It's that time of the week again, folks, and this is me, your host, Richard McCall, here in Bogota, Colombia, 2,600 meters close to the stars. And this is episode 514 of the Colombia Calling Podcast. This week's very special guest is none other than Gary Murray. Now, he won't be known to many of you, but he's had some experiences here in Colombia, where he was resident in sort of the later 2000s. And so this episode is sort of hotelier to ex-hotelier in Colombia. So I'm obviously the hotelier, and Gary Murray is the ex-hotelier. And he goes on to share quite a lot of stories. Some of them are horrifying and, well, increase our outrage into everything in Colombia. Others are, well, quite, I would say, naive on his part. And but you can draw your own conclusions on this. Think of the book, if you've read it. If you haven't, have a read. You never want to stay in a hotel again, apart from mine, of course. Called Heads in Beds, and it's a revealing book written anonymously by someone who worked in the hotel industry in the United States. So, yes, he shares quite a lot with us, and we go into society, Colombian culture very much, and none less than the dating culture, because this has a major part to play in his story of what went wrong, why things happened the way they did, and beyond. But again, draw your own conclusions. And we talk about the difficulties, we talk about what went on, we talk about his life. It's a great conversation, and he is a fantastic talker. So you're going to enjoy this one. You're going to enjoy this episode of the Colombia Calling Podcast. And of course, if you want to support us, that's patreon.com/Colombia Calling. Emily has her own Substack as well. Just look up Emily Hart's Substack. You'll find it there. We'll put up that on our Facebook page. Then segment three with Gary Murray, former owner of a hotel just off the Parque 93 in Bogota, Colombia. Hear his story. So don't go away.
The Colombia Calling podcast is sponsored by Latin News, a leading source of political and economic analysis on Latin America and the Caribbean since 1967. Their flagship publication, the Latin American Weekly Report, provides a behind-the-scenes briefing on all the week's key developments throughout the region. Sign up for a 14-day free trial at latinnews.com. We are also sponsored by BNB Colombia Tours, which is a leading tour operator providing a wonderful range of exclusive small group shared tours for those over 50, along with customizable private tours to both popular and off-the-map destinations throughout this beautiful and diverse country. If you're interested in experiencing one of their unforgettable journeys through Colombia, be it a shared tour with like-minded travelers or creating a unique private package of your own, just complete the form on the Colombia Calling website, that's www.colombiacalling.co, or the BNB Colombia Tours website, that's www.bnbcolombia.com, and they'll be in touch within 24 hours to answer all of your questions and to start the planning of your exclusive Colombian adventure. So that's bnbcolombia.com and latinnews.com. Thank you for supporting our sponsors.
I'm Matthew DeSavo, and these are your headlines from Colombia this week. Former President Álvaro Uribe will go to trial for alleged witness tampering after Colombian prosecutors took the case to the Supreme Court. Prosecutors allege that Uribe bribed members of a paramilitary group which had damaging information against him. The case relates to an allegation made 10 years ago by opposition Senator Iván Cepeda, who said he had evidence of Uribe founding a paramilitary group, El Bloque Metro. Uribe accused Cepeda of using false witnesses, but later, in 2018, the Supreme Court opened a case against the ex-president for alleged witness tampering. Uribe has long been dogged by allegations tying him to right-wing paramilitary groups and drug traffickers, but nothing has ever gone to trial, and he has always maintained his innocence. The 71-year-old ex-leader, who served from 2002 to 2010, will be the first former president to stand trial in Colombia. And in the capital of Bogota, residents are being forced to ration water due to a severe drought. The El Niño climate phenomenon has pushed reservoir levels to their lowest point in decades. As a result, the city's mayor, Carlos Fernando Galan, last week urged households to take showers together, turn off the tap when brushing their teeth, and only use washing machines for full loads. A lack of rain and unusual heat has caused Colombia's reservoirs to dry up quicker than previously. Bogotá gets 70% of its water from the Chuza Reservoir, which is currently running at less than 17% capacity, the lowest point in 40 years. And President Gustavo Petro last week visited the Venezuelan capital of Caracas to meet with the country's leader, Nicolas Maduro. The Colombian president is serving as a potential mediator in Venezuela after his government criticized Caracas for blocking several opposition candidates in the upcoming July election. The international community condemned Maduro's moves. Brazil and Colombia, which still maintain relations with Venezuela, also spoke out. President Petro, during his visit, met with Venezuela's opposition presidential candidate Manuel Rosales following a three-hour talk with Maduro at the presidential palace. After his trip, Petro also said the two countries were working on a deal where state-controlled Ecopetrol would produce high-quality oil and gas in Venezuela. In return, Colombia could export clean energy to its neighbor. Colombia's longest-living guerrilla group last week announced that peace talks with the government were suspended for the rest of the month. The National Liberation Army, the ELN, and its delegates had requested an extraordinary meeting in Caracas, Venezuela on Friday, but the event was postponed. The ELN, Colombia's largest guerrilla group, which formed in 1964, has been in peace talks with President Petro's government since 2022 as part of the Colombian leader's total peace plan. And Mayor Federico Gutierrez announced that he would be working closer with Americans to combat illegal sex tourism in the city. Launching a campaign last week, Gutierrez handed flyers to tourists arriving at Rio Negro Airport, warning them that paying for sex with minor was a crime. The campaign comes after an American was caught entering a hotel with two minors earlier this month. It was reported that there were drugs and used condoms in the room, but the American suspect managed to leave Colombia for the US. The mayor's office has since said that the city has an insidious problem with foreigners visiting to abuse minors. And following Iran's unprecedented attack on Israel, President Petro said via his Twitter account that the world was now on the precipice of World War III. He also criticized the US for supporting Israel for genocide. Petro has repeatedly criticized Israel since it launched its invasion into the Gaza Strip to take out Hamas, repeatedly calling it a genocide as tens of thousands of innocents have been killed. Petro on Saturday added that the United Nations must urgently meet and called for peace.
If you value these updates or want them direct to your email or WhatsApp as audio and text every Monday, you can subscribe to the Colombia Briefing. Just sign up to my Substack at substack.com/@EHART, or you can sign up on the Colombia Calling Patreon site. That's all from me. Have a great week.
And we're back. This is Colombia Calling. I'm Richard McColl, your host here in Bogota, Colombia. And our very special guest this week is on the line from Spain. His name's Gary Murray. And he's got a fascinating story to tell. A fascinating story as an immigrant to Colombia many years ago. And we have something in common, not least that we both come from the motherland. But he was a hotel owner. He was a hotel owner in Bogota, a small hotel, 10 rooms. We'll let him talk about that more. And I just thought it'd be interesting for he and I to compare stories about owning hotels, running hotels in Colombia. My stories are, I would say, largely positive, with some, you know, obviously negative elements there. And so I was thinking, there was a book that came out some years ago, written about someone who worked in several hotels in New York, New Orleans, and other places. It was written anonymously, so I suppose he could work again. And it was called Heads in Beds. And it was a pretty
negative look at how what the goings on in hotels, especially one near Times Square, one near the French Quarter in New Orleans and so on. And I just thought we could have that kind of conversation without ruining my business, but also hearing more about Gary's business here in Bogota and what happened. So welcome on the Columbia Calling podcast.
Thank you very much. if you like, I'll give a tiny resume of how I got into the hotel business.
Yes.
I don't know about your background, but it was the first hotel or any kind of business like that that I had. So basically, what happened? I had a friend, still got a friend. He's half English, half Portuguese, maybe half from Pakistan. Okay, that's three halves, but anyway.
It's all right.
And so he lived in Bogota when I moved there, and he had a real estate business, and we became friends. I won't mention his name, but he was somebody, I mean, a nice guy, but unfortunately he drank from 9 in the morning, from whenever he got up until the evening. I mean, mm-hmm. Terrible problem. Three daughters. He's now living in Leicester, back in the UK. Anyway, so he mentioned to me this hotel that was for sale on Carreronte in Bogota, and I went to see it, and I was interested. I mean, it looked like a little gold mine, but of course, well, that brings one subject up, because the numbers that they present to you, it's hard to verify them sometimes,
right?
Because the numbers they present to you aren't necessarily the numbers that they send to the DIAN, to the tax authority. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure you, well, we won't talk about your business, but let's say, you know, everybody, cash is king, okay? But yeah. So, but even still, so she, the woman that owned the hotel, who ran, I mean, always complicated in Colombia, sorry, but this woman was kind of running for this hotel for another woman that hardly ever went there, and it seemed a little bit complex. Anyway, so I saw the hotel, it looked interesting, but I didn't go for it. And then I bought, I went to see an apartment on 92 with 11 as well. And I did buy that apartment. I wish I didn't, because I've still got it and I can't sell it, but I did buy it. And the guy I bought it from, we kind of became friends. He's from Cali. And I mentioned this hotel. I still had some money left over. And he was very interested. So we went to see it together, and one thing led to another, and we bought the hotel together. And there was a slight sting in the tail that I'm sure he did have enough money, but he wanted to, part exchange an apartment in Cali for half of his half of the, which is a big thing they do in Colombia, is always So I thought that was wrong. Once we'd done all the negotiation, which was more me than him with this woman, I thought then to throw this in at the last minute, and it really was the last minute, I thought, I'm sorry. If you don't have the money, either don't buy it, but I can lend you the money if you want for your half of your half. And he said, no, that's fine. And he offered to pay me interest. Anyway, so this is how, without going down the road with him completely, which would be a whole different podcast, I can tell you, and other businesses in Colombia would be another podcast. Anyway, so that's how we got into the hotel. He was living in Cali. I was living in Bogota. There was a manager, but I think we got a new manager. Actually, yes, we did. Sorry. We got, clever idea of mine, my current girlfriend, current back then, girlfriend, to run the hotel. Always a good idea. Mix business with pleasure. That's what they say, isn't it? So that's how I got into the hotel business.
But okay, there's too many questions here. You had no background in hotels. Okay. So what year are we looking at as well? The year you moved to Colombia and invested in these buildings.
Okay, well, the year I moved to Colombia on and off, because it was always kind of between Barcelona and Bogota. I moved there round about probably 15 years ago. Well, that's when I started spending more and more time there. I did not get the hotel in the first few years or anything like that. So the hotel was probably about 8 years ago, and we had it for two and a half years before then we managed to sell it.
Now, so as a student, I'd worked in a couple of small hotels. I have no background in business management, anything like that. Mine came about by having been brought up in a family that restored houses. Okay. So we lived in building sites, essentially. So once seeing how and what could be done, I'm not an architect, in, for example, Mon Bos was, I think, very different. It was like, well, I could do this up as an investment and flip sale, and then decided, no, I don't want to do that. I want these buildings to work for themselves, to work for me. And hence became a hostelier to begin with, because there was no tourism. And then over time, a hotelier. And it's been a process of obviously learning and, honing and fine skills here and that. But yours sounds very different. It sounds like you saw a business opportunity from the first. It was a hotel to begin with. But when I listen to your summary, I'm getting alarm bells on everyone. Your friend from Cali, hopefully still a friend, and immediately throwing that in as, I can give you half of this apartment in Cali and stuff. But, what use really is that to you in Bogota and throwing this out? And then, I'll lend you the money, but pay interest. Oh, God. And then the girlfriend at the time being manager, did she sweet talk you into it?
No, I mean. It's all everything I've done wrong, and I've done everything wrong in Colombia and lost a fortune, as you know. But it's all my fault for believing people, which maybe anyway you shouldn't, but sorry, in Colombia even more so. Yes, you could say anybody, well, you can see it now, and I can see it now, lots of red flags, as they say these days. I lived close to the hotel, so it was always going to be the case that if there was a problem, I would probably have to go there.
Yeah.
In the end, actually, this guy did move to Bogota, but I think by then we'd already got rid of the hotel. So basically, because I had so many, and that would be another podcast, we could do a lot of podcasts. with my ex-girl, well, now ex-girlfriend, maybe she didn't have a job at the time. She had worked in tourism, and she'd worked filling hotels, so more the marketing side, et cetera, et cetera. But I suppose the hotel just looked, the way it was presented, which was true to a certain extent. Again, more than I do, but a hotel in the city, be it Barcelona, Madrid, Bogota, New York, should really be 80 to 90%, if not actually higher, occupancy year in, year out, all year long. Whereas where you have your hotels, and I won't say Bali, but let's say a hotel in the south of France is probably 30-35%, mainly summer, and the rest of the year.
Yeah.
So, and this, to be honest, this pretty much was the case. And it was presented as a gold mine, and it looked pretty easy. And only 10 rooms, I thought, how difficult, within reason, can it be to run? And I'm not running it anyway, and it seems like my girlfriend could do it. So it was a mistake, obviously. I thought, well, this will cement her. I'm going to pay her a bit more money than she would have had in her previous job, which was trying to fill hotels. The only thing she needed to do was to, which she kind of gave the impression she could, where in reality she probably couldn't, was to do the wage slips and things like this. We had an accountant, of course. Sorry, let me just cancel this call, whatever it is. We had an accountant, so she was just administrating the hotel. Mm-hmm. But that was definitely a mistake. And in the end, in the end, because, well, in the end, well, not in the end, but after a couple of problems, then my partner in Cali sent one of his employees to go to the hotel and assist. This might be after my girlfriend, ex-girlfriend at this point, because we did break up while she was running the hotel. So if it was difficult when we were dating, it became supremely difficult afterward. But this might be after she got pregnant with one of the guys that worked at the hotel. There's lots of areas of this story that are quite surprising. And I'm not sure much of it comes from... I'm not sure people are going to learn too much about hotels from...
A very personal story.
I got nothing to hide.
Did you... was she... I don't know where to start. So you had broken up and then she got pregnant?
Yes. So... So we went, I took her and her daughter, who I would say is like a daughter for me, but obviously we had a relationship. She was only 5 when we met. By now she's about 18. So I'd taken her and her daughter to Bali, kind of, again, to try and make things, I guess, I was always kind of fighting fires and trying to make things work. Obviously, I obviously have fault in this relationship as well, and she would probably say I have all the fault, who knows. Anyway, we went to Bali, and there we argued. I took my mom as well. I took my mom thinking that my mom will help take care of the Danny, the daughter, even though one doesn't speak English and one doesn't speak Spanish, but even still it's... And I remember I went for a walk with my mom. We left my ex and her daughter at the beach. Nice place to be in Bali. Yeah. Went for a walk with my mom. It's very hot, of course. We get back. They're at the beach. And I'm a bit tired. You're sweating and whatever. And my ex-girlfriend said, let's go in the water. And I said, very politely, not in a bad tone in the slightest, I just said, well, give me a minute. I just got back. Give me a few minutes just to kind of get my breath or whatever, as I'm drenched in sweat and whatever. And I can tell you from that moment, for the next 2 days, she did not speak to me. Pretty much. Because, yeah, I mean, this is... I don't think she was. I have dated somebody that's bipolar. I don't think she is. But again, it was just, yeah. And then ultimately, the breaking up, to me, it was a case of, if you can't be happy in Bali, which for me is one of the most idyllic places in the world and my favorite holiday destination, I've been there 5 or 6 times, and I'm, without being nasty, I'm paying quite a bit of money for you to go there and your daughter, and there are very few Colombians in Bali, I can tell you. And fortunately not too many English either. And if you can't be happy there and make an effort, then this relationship isn't going anywhere. So basically, when the day or the night we got back to Bogota, so we came back to Barcelona, my mom left, and then we flew back to Bogota. At the hotel, because I can't remember why we stayed at the hotel or whatever, I broke up with her. She wasn't happy, of course, but then we had a period of, well, we are broken up, but she's still flirting quite a lot and blah blah blah, and so, you know, you're working with the person, there's still, we had, I mean, she's a very attractive girl, so we had a lot of chemistry, fortunately or unfortunately, so maybe, you know, a few things happened that shouldn't have happened, blah blah blah, but technically we'd still broken up. And then fast forward maybe a few months or whatever, I think she obviously sinks in that being all personal now, I'd made a friend at the building I lived on, 92, an American lady presented me to another Colombian girl whose parents lived in Miami, and we got on very well. So big difference between me and my girlfriend, where it was more physical relationship rather than a mental relationship. There wasn't much conversation, we didn't have that much in common, I guess. We spoke. With this girl, it was like, you know, the sense of humor was there, the everything, kind of you felt alive, whereas I felt kind of asleep for a couple of years. And this girl wanted to date me on the physical side. I wasn't that keen. She came to my apartment one night, and obviously I would tell you, and nothing to hide, but nothing happened, but I could not get her out. She was determined to spend the night one way or another. She did spend the night, and nothing happened. I think I slept on the sofa. Without me calling the police, I couldn't get her out. I said, I'm going to the hotel. I said, it's only a five-minute walk. And she said, well, I'm going to follow you. So, I mean, she was determined, and okay. Anyway, she stayed the night. I told, a couple of days later, my ex-girlfriend that this girl stayed the night. I said nothing happened, which was completely true. From that moment on, which I think was the intention of my new friend, from that moment on, my ex-girlfriend knew it was over. I wasn't maybe so sure, but she said from that moment on, she still flirted and whatever. And then one night, when I'm flying back to the UK for Christmas, this is maybe 6 years ago, whatever it is, I go to the hotel. My ex is still working there. I go to the hotel with some presents for her daughter to leave them there. I don't know if she's there or not or whatever. I go into the building, into the reception. There's nobody in the reception. I thought, well, that's kind of strange. It was about 4 PM, just before I try and get this impossible taxi to take you to the airport in rush hour, which is not easy because nobody wants to take you because they can do 15 journeys of 5,000 or 6,000 pesos. Yeah. Instead of one journey, it was going to take an hour for 25 pesos. I think you know well, I'm sure. So nobody at reception. I walk around the hotel a little bit, into the rooms, and there's a room open, and there is my girlfriend fully clothed on the bed with this young guy who's 10 years her junior, that works at reception, and there they are in the bedroom, like arm in arm or whatever. I didn't know at the time at all, but I'm obviously quite, actually my first reaction was I'd left the stuff already in the kitchen or whatever. And I said very little, and I just thought I'm going to be bigger than this, and I walked away. And then I realized when I got down the end of the hall, I'm not bigger than this, and I went back. So I went back, and I can't remember the whole conversation now, but I obviously wasn't happy. I said a few things. He kind of... I can't remember him leaving, but he did leave the room, whatever, or maybe I left the room, maybe she followed, I don't know, but I can remember then moving back to reception, and then the conversation ensued. He's bigger than me, he's younger than me, and he said something, and I tell you, I shut him up straight away. If he would have continued, I would have gone for him, because that's how, because again, you try and... There's certain circumstances in life where you try and be calm and you think you will be calm, but in the end, it's something. I mean, this is a girl who's put me through hell for 5 years. And this wasn't the first time, by the way, she was pregnant with somebody else. So again, I don't know what I talk about red flags. Anyway, so that's how that came about. And then, of course, from a hotel point of view, I didn't know that she was pregnant. And I think the conversation in the bedroom was that she'd only just found out. Having said that, a week before that, when she technically, according to her, wasn't, but I've got the dates exactly, she was pregnant, we'd slept together. So, of course, when I did find out that she was pregnant, the dates were extremely close, but we're talking maybe 10 days between it being potentially my child and his child or whatever. Obviously, I didn't know she was sleeping with anybody else. Anyway, I won't take up all your podcast with my ex-girlfriend.
The baby is not your child.
The baby is not my child. No. I mean, she insists it was never. I mean, the dates do work because going back to that. So in the hotel's expenses, I had a credit card which was in the safe, which she had access to. She used that credit card and she paid for a weekend in a hotel in. What's the place people go to outside of Bogota?
Like Melgar or something?
No, well, Girardot. She used the hotel to stay there. And of course, I see it on the hotel. And I think, well, why are you going there? So obviously, she'd gone with him. So the dates pretty much coincided exactly with that, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I, oh my word, it throws up so many memories. So I was I was friends with, I'll finish now. I was friends with this other guy. He was a police sergeant who actually came to London and was trying to buy arms, weapons rather. You haven't lived. You haven't lived. You have a lot of experiences in Colombia. I think you have.
Yeah.
And this guy, I won't say too much about him on this podcast because I'll tell you later. But he did use my hotel, let's say, occasionally. I wish he didn't, but I'll explain why later, but whatever. Anyway, so he offered to, when the baby was born, I'm thinking, well, is it mine? Could it be? So he offered to kind of bribe or do something, whatever, get in to the, not the, where the babies are kept, and basically get a hair of the baby's head to then do which we didn't do, by the way, but these are all kind of stupid things you think when you think a child might be yours.
Yeah. So how did you get the confirmation it's not your child?
She definitely said, but okay, that doesn't mean anything. I've seen the child, at least in photos, et cetera, et cetera. The dates, I'm pretty sure you can get, the doctor will be able to give you a pretty accurate date of conception, right? They can't tell you exactly when it's going to be born but they can get the date of conception. And the date of conception was pretty much that weekend in Girardot.
Okay.
I mean, also without going into really personal details, I'm pretty sure it's not mine anyway, but there's always a risk. But
yes,
without going into physical.
Gary, we have taken a tangent, but that said, it's a tangent that's incredibly relevant to your experience
in Colombia
as a hotelier. Mm-hmm. What can I say? I lament the situation. You have certainly lived when it comes to Colombia. I'm a bit in shock. I don't know how I would have reacted in this situation. And I should say thank you so much for sharing this. You've left us with a whole load of intrigue as well, because of, you know, the police sergeant you're talking about. It's just bizarre to think about this possibility of what has happened, what could have happened, what was happening in your hotel, a police officer promising something or other, using the hotel. Probably you can't tell us because you want to.
I can, I just don't know. Let's say it involves the girls. He took the hotel, but...
We know what's going on there. We know what's going on. I'm just going to move my computer 1 second from this box.
He was an army sergeant, rather. I don't know if I did say police, but he was actually in the army. He actually wanted to buy the hotel and claimed he had the money to buy the hotel. And he did the old trick in Colombia because my apartment was for sale also. Oh, yeah. So he said he wanted to buy them both. He told me that he was involved with he wasn't involved with the FARC, but he knew where they might have a lot of money and drugs stored, and the American forces were coming in to get it. And I actually went with him. So in La Cien, in Bogota, on the K-100, there is an army barracks, right?
Yes, yes.
With 11 and 100, yeah. So I've been in there. And with him, and he went to meet this colonel, blah, blah, blah. And supposedly it was basically to negotiate him giving this information and basically receiving an X percentage share of the money that they were going to find. So, back to the hotel, just in case.
As someone who, you know, sometime journalist, I love this whole story. There are too many things. So did he say Did he say he was going to pay with the money?
No. So basically, he, and it might, so again, it's quite a while ago now. Yeah. He might have been acting for another person. But we did go in there, and there was somebody else in the car who might not be in the army, who wasn't in the army at that point, but was. So he might have been kind of the intermediate. So he was basically trying to negotiate the person that had the information on the FARC or one of these terrorist organizations. He knew where they were, where they stored weapons and money. Mm. And so basically what this guy was trying to do, what the sergeant was trying to do, was to basically make money from the situation. Mm. So he wanted to broker a deal where the colonel would give the information to the US, but the military, but the Colombians would be there as well, because the US military doesn't do these things on their own. So they would assist them, and they would basically go to this place, wipe out the FARC or arrest them or whatever. And his role, his main objective was to be able to get that money. And maybe he wasn't even going to tell there was money. Anyway, basically, he wanted to make money from this deal. He wasn't that interested in stopping the FARC or whatever. He wanted the money.
So you would have been, you know, he would have bought it, and it would have been laundering the money found from elsewhere.
Money would have come from obviously ill-gotten gains, drugs, etc., etc.
Hotels are great for laundering money. I've been accused of laundering money.
Have you?
In fact, a lot of Montpossinos still think I'm laundering dollars. And I've said to them through back channels, because I don't hear it directly. I hear it from hearsay from elsewhere. I said, well, if I was laundering money, I'd probably do it where there's a proper flow of money, somewhere like Barranquilla or Cartagena, rather than in Mompos. But that's neither here nor there. You are doing the heads in bed style conversation here, because you are giving us an insight into the hotel business. You're Army sergeant, obviously using the rooms by the hour.
I'll say it. I mean, it's not. I obviously was quite disgusted by it, but I didn't know at the time. But basically, girls that were underage.
No.
I mean, we're not talking 10, but I would never have. I did. I was not. So basically, to skip to a big. In the end. When my girlfriend kind of wanted us to pay her, because I would continue to go to the hotel, but she didn't want me near her. I mean, I wasn't abusing her, I wasn't doing anything, certainly not physically, or I didn't think mentally, and I wasn't going there to argue with her. Once I found out she was pregnant, she said it was somebody else's. In the end, it was this guy's who worked at the hotel. He didn't work there anymore. But anyway, I think she felt... whatever she felt, she didn't want me there. But of course, it's my hotel, so that got into a slight legal situation. And in the end, what she wanted was for my partner and myself basically pay her off to get her to pay whatever a year's wages or whatever it was, the finiquito and everything, which we didn't really want to do. But eventually, she left one way or another. Maybe we put up with things until the end, I'm not sure, or maybe we paid, I can't remember. And then we hired another manager, and this manager had worked in hotels before, but it still didn't seem to, it wasn't satisfactory, let's say. So in the end, it got to the point where I said, okay, I'm going to run the hotel. I mean, basically, we have an accountant that can do all the wage slips, the wages and all the things that the social security for them, for the government, etc. I didn't do that. I don't claim to know how to do it. But what I did is, you know, all the staff relations and obviously all the pricing in bookings.com and hotels.com. Because you need to be on this, you know,
all the time.
In a hotel with 10 rooms, if there's an empty room, or two empty rooms that night, and it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon or whatever, you need to be there and lower the price and see if it, you know, to me, it's better to get 60, 70, 80, 100,000 pesos than get nothing, as long as you're cost the breakfast or whatever. So once I started to do that, the occupancy got back to where it should be. And then things started to improve. apart from everybody trying to steal from me in the hotel and my reception staff making up false invoices, et cetera, et cetera. But that's...
We have to go back. The sergeant was with underage girls?
Yeah, so I met him because he wanted to buy my apartment and then the hotel. I can't remember which way around it was, but I'm pretty sure he came to see my apartment first and he really wanted it. And of course, I assume if you're going to see an apartment, then you have the money, which I'm pretty well, he didn't. And then when I mentioned the hotel, he probably saw it somewhere to take these girls or whatever. And he was interested in buying the hotel. He even went as, in fact, he even paid me, I forget how to say it in Spanish, but basically a deposit of 5 or 10 million pesos or whatever, which I could have kept, but I didn't. So when it was clear that he wasn't going to buy, I even went with him to the bank to see his friend at the bank, and where they looked like they might be giving him a loan to do it, et cetera, et cetera. So it all seemed relatively genuine. El Banco Occidente. But eventually, in fact, his cousin, who was quite attractive, came. I think he'd already lined her up. She came and spent a few days at the hotel to see if she could run it. She was doing another job somewhere else. So again, it all seemed, and for me, if I could sell my apartment and the hotel in one go, I would be very happy. But eventually I realized that this wasn't the case. He even invited me to I forget all these places now. There's outside of Bogota. Sorry, outside could be outside Bogota, another town. Valley.
Valle,
but is there another? Yeah, Valle.
Depensa or something. Or
there's a name of a it's another town, something, and it has the word valley in it. Valle. Valle one.
Well, not Valle du Par. Valle du Par.
No,
that's way up in
much closer. Okay. 2 hours. So he took me there. His girlfriend, who was pregnant, we stayed in I think maybe it was his house or her house or her parents' house or whatever. So we stayed there, and so again, we became friends. He was very good at bringing people in. He relatively charismatic. But after a few months, then I realized that this was going nowhere, and I gave him his money back and didn't hear much from him again.
Have you heard what's going on in Colombia right now with the issue of underage girls in hotels?
No.
So a hotel has shut down. Well, the owners have shut it down in Poblado, right there in Parque Lleras. An American from Ohio was found to have taken two girls, 12 and 13. And so it was being used as for pedophiles. Anyway, it's all alleged, but there's a whole lot of corruption going on now. So it's called the Gotham Hotel in Medellin. And so obviously that someone is coming to you. Is there any way that you should have been reporting him to the police for this?
I think you know as well as I do, especially an army sergeant or whatever, you would be in extreme danger. It's hard for me to remember the I'm not a saint, but actually I can hold my head up high relatively and say I've never been unfaithful to any girlfriend that I've had, which in Colombia is non-existent, and even in most places. So I'm quite relatively proud of that. So all I knew initially, because like I say, I was not running the hotel at this time. Okay. I think, I don't know if my ex was or this other woman we put in charge. So all I knew is that he asked me for a room, and I gave him a room, and he paid or whatever. He had no problem paying. Mm. And this happened 2 or 3 times. And of course, I wasn't happy because I'd met his girlfriend who was pregnant. So obviously he was being unfaithful. And I'll never forget what he said. We had a conversation about it once or whatever. And he said, well, I'm not unfaithful. He said, I love my girlfriend. And this is just sex or whatever. I'm not unfaithful. And I'm thinking, it's a different culture. It's a whole different planet. But anyway, so I did not know. It was only, let's say, later on when somebody at reception or whatever kind of said, well, you know, these girls are, I mean, we're talking 14. Well, 14 is still terrible, but
terrible.
We're not talking 10 or 12, but even still. But when I found out, no, I didn't. I can honestly say I found it quite disgusting. In fact, he mentioned to me, I mean, I think the main thing for him was that they were virgins. It didn't really matter the age.
Oh, God.
And he offered me, I don't think I confronted him, but the subject came up somehow or other. And he said to me a few times, I can put you in touch with this. So there's a group or a guy or whatever, or there's a business, whatever it is, if you want it. And I said, no, I'm okay. And then we stopped giving him rooms or whatever. Okay. Once.
Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't, to report a army sergeant.
I mean, your life would be in danger, basically. I mean, this guy is,
It's, oh God. I mean, yeah.
Wow. Can I just have another tiny story with you? So, guys, we did spend a bit of time together. I'm obviously a bad judge of character, which is why I'm on this podcast. So we go to the Starbucks in 93. It's probably only been for a year back at this point or whatever. We're in Starbucks talking about business or whatever. He's got his backpack and his computer. I don't think he had his computer out on the table or whatever. And this is a guy who's, you know, con man or whatever you want to say he is or whatever. And when we get up to leave, he's got his own driver and everything. When we get up to leave, somebody's stolen his bloody backpack, haven't they? And in his backpack were, I forget what they're called, but basically papers illustrating that other people owed him money, which might have been $50,000-$60,000 or whatever. And without these papers, you're kind of screwed. So he was very annoyed, of course. He got the cameras from Starbucks, and you could see what happened in that a guy come. So we're sat. I don't know if we're both sat on the same table. Well, sat on the same table. I can't remember if we're opposite each other or next to each other. A guy comes across, kind of stands close. I mean, it's a busy place, Starbucks. So he's kind of close to him and is obviously looking around or whatever and blah, blah, blah. He's got a friend coming up the stairs. You can see him put his foot into the shoulder strap of the bag. Mm-hmm. And then the guy, you know, kind of moves his head or whatever. I'm not doing anything. And then another one or two attempts, and then basically gets his foot into the shoulder strap, slides it back to the floor. His friend comes along, picks it up, and gone.
It's gone. Yeah. What, aside from this heinous army sergeant, what kind of clients? What were the other clients you received there? Were mainly international?
I would say during the week, 90% would be business people from either the rest of Colombia or even other parts of Bogota. Maybe they need to be at an early meeting or whatever. Mm-hmm. But they were mostly Colombian during the week. Mm-hmm. At the weekend, maybe not. Maybe 20-25% foreigners. Mm. Yeah, probably more, because of course you had to do the
Migración Colombia stuff.
Yeah. And so that they wouldn't be charged. I don't know if that's still a thing. So they didn't have to pay the IVA.
Yeah.
VAT, is that still the case?
Yeah, still the case.
Okay. Yeah. So in order for that to happen, you have to fill out the paperwork, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, so there are definitely people, and some people paid in dollars. I can remember one couple, I mean, because we weren't set up, you know, we're in Parque Noventa y Tres, which isn't kind of downtown. It's not really a touristy, well, okay, some people might go there for food, but it's not. I mean, Bogota isn't really a touristy city in general. Obviously, you get people, but Cartagena is, obviously, but Medellin more so than Bogota, probably. There was a couple there, maybe they were American, and I mean, I have to admit, I didn't treat them the way I should have treated them. And basically, because I was there, so my receptionist didn't speak English because there was really no need. And to get somebody to speak English and Spanish there and keep them on almost a minimum wage is not very easy either. Anyway, this couple wanted basically some information for tourism. They wanted a map and this, that, the other. And to be honest, we just don't know. It wasn't something I'd ever really contemplated because 90% of the people aren't there for tourism. So I did give them some, I think I printed out some stuff online. And I did tell them some places where they could go, but let's say they certainly weren't happy with the lack of information. You know, in a hotel, normally you're going to have lots of different pamphlets and whatever. And no, we didn't have it. But yeah, some foreigners, but 90% Colombian.
What was the cost per night?
So we had a single room with a double bed, and then there were some rooms with actually three beds.
Yeah,
so the prices would range maybe from, of course, the peso against the dollar has completely changed over the past years. It probably changed the 5 years previous to that, which is where I lost a lot of my money. I think the minimum room was maybe 140,000 pesos.
Mm-hmm.
And for the triple room, if it was fully occupied, might have been 600,000 pesos, more or less, something like that. But you could get six people in that room.
But you're not making money. You're not.
Maybe my numbers are. No, I don't think my numbers are around about right. I mean, like I say, the occupancy was pretty much 90%.
Okay.
And so there were only one or two single rooms, and the rest were either double rooms or triple rooms. That was with breakfast as well, by the way, and the breakfast was pretty good. I can't quite remember, but if I can kind of think of the numbers, we paid the administration for the building, we're in an apartment building. Mm. So we paid the administration for the building, which might have been back then 3 million pesos or something like that. In fact, I think it might have been more. Our water bill was around about 3 million pesos a month. Mm-hmm. I'm sure yours is probably less. Electricity and whatever. But I might be wrong, but I think on a good month, we're taking in about 60 million pesos.
That's a good one. Okay.
And you say baddish, which is why I kind of managed it myself in the end, because you had the potential to get 50 to 60 million, and I think we came down to about 35. And actually, by the time you take into, because we had three receptionists doing the 24 hours, because you had to do 24 hours. We had one lady doing the cleaning and the breakfast, and then the manager. The manager got, when it was my girlfriend, at least, she got about 3 million pesos a month. And the others were on pretty much minimum wage plus the extra
add-ons.
It should have, and the way it was, presented to us was it should be clearing around about 20 million a month, pretty much. So it's not bad. And the hotel, I think it cost us round about 2,000 million. But of course, you're buying the property and the hotel. Well, you're buying the property itself and the hotel business, let's say.
Yeah. Wow. There's so much to think. One of the hardest things I've had as a hotelier has been employees. In Mompos, in that area, there is a finite amount of people to employ. No one speaks English, not at all. And I do cater to a lot of international tourists.
Yeah.
People are brought up in this town and don't know much of the history. I don't expect them to be historians, but I do expect them to be able to point things out. Obviously they're townsfolk, so they go home and eat. They don't know where the restaurants are, even though it's 45 square blocks of colonial town. It's little things that have taken. And then of course there have been thefts. There have been as you mentioned earlier, the fake facturas, invoices, skimming off here and there. And I think the worst thing for me out of it all has been the, I don't want to say lying. I say this is a bending of the truth, is that nobody really ever taking responsibility. And of the most basic things, it could be most basic things. Why didn't the sheets get washed today? Oh, well, you know, this and that and this and that and this and that. And it's like, it's an excuse. It's just not. And now I have a fantastic team. It's been 16 years, but I have a fantastic team in both hotels. Again, we're only 10 rooms in one and 7 in the other.
How long have these teams been?
My cleaning team, in the Casa Maria has been well more than 5 or 6 years now. But receptionists, we change out. I mean, it seems like every 2 months. These are people who have studied in the Sena for hotel management and then don't want to do it. And they leave on account of not liking the uniform, not liking the bright sunlight. And you're like, you're from the Caribbean. And then if they're corrected, and we're very constructive, you're never shouted at, you know, but it's always... constructive criticism in how to improve. We understand you're not going to be here forever. Well, allow us to train you for the next job as well. But any even constructive criticism is taken to heart. And it becomes very difficult to manage these sort of things. And I don't know, did you have a similar experience? Because it sounds to me like by the end of it, you were at the front desk.
The fake invoices, you know, obviously that's of course they have to get the cash because that's the only way they can do it, of course. And it's unless you're there every day and unless you're checking everything, it's almost impossible to know. And people say, well, why don't you get cameras? And they say that in my previous business, which was a mobile phone business, get cameras and whatever. But the thing is, the cameras only serve a purpose if you're there looking at them 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
And you're not. I mean, how can you? You've got to sleep at night, so you don't know what's going on there at night. Okay, if something happens and you suspect something, then you can review the cameras, but to be monitoring all the time is... So the lady that did the cleaning and the cooking, it was a very nice lady, from the coast, actually, originally, but then in Bogota. But yeah, even she would be stealing the coffee and the eggs and whatever. And
oh yeah,
I'm not going to sack her for that or whatever. But it's just a bit disappointing. In fact, I don't think they even said anything. But I could, because she would be the one that would take the rubbish down. And at some point, I guess I started to suspect or whatever. And then when she wasn't looking or when she was whatever, I look in the rubbish bag and actually it's not much rubbish in there. It's things that should be staying in the hotel, let's say. And the only other staff were the reception staff. And the reception staff, I mean, it's a shame because one of them was in a pop group. And again, it's a really nice guy and he spoke a bit of English. Like a young guy, really, it's just so disappointing because he was such a nice guy, always very polite, always very professional, came in really well presented, everything. And like I say, he would show me his videos and this, that, the other, his pop videos and this, that, the other. And I even tried to help him with some contacts or whatever. And then to find, and there was a girl there, and again, very, very polite, very professional. They helped me in the quite turbulent and emotional upsetting situation with my ex-girlfriend as well after this whole thing happened. So then find out that they were faking invoices and stealing from me. It's really
disappointing.
Disappointing, disheartening, really, really a shame. And then I just thought, so when we took over the hotel and my ex started running it, there was another girl at reception. She might have, she might have been, let's say, the head receptionist or whatever. I don't know. And I don't think she was, no, she wasn't managing it, but she was, maybe she was the more experienced receptionist and she got a bit more money. I don't know. Anyway, she asked me, I was there one evening, because again, the hotel for me is a 10-minute walk, and I became friends with, you've heard of the shop Deco Ceramica?
Yeah.
So it's next to where it's very close to Ceramica on 11.
Yeah.
And I bought, because the apartment I bought in 92, from the guy that eventually owned the hotel with. I needed completely gutting, three floors, and I did everything. And so I bought a lot of stuff from Deco Ceramic. I'm there every day, and I become friends with the guy that I'm dealing with. Sometimes, to be honest, I will go in there for a quick chat, and why not? And he was happy to see me. And then I had these two UK two-seater old-fashioned but new sports cars. They were parked in the hotel, and people see them, and you have a conversation about all these things. So I can't remember what my point was. So I go there and I pop into the hotel one evening, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, no idea. And she says, or maybe I say, I don't know, that the Wi-Fi isn't reaching certain areas of the hotel. We've probably got a couple of repeaters and whatever, but it's not quite great in some of the rooms. So I'm going in to test with the phone, and it's not difficult. And she comes in. Well, there's no guests around. It's 8 o'clock or whatever it is. I don't know. It's not that late. And she comes into one of the, maybe we go in together to a couple of rooms or different areas. No big deal. She's not ugly, but she's not the most attractive girl. She does not compare to my ex. Like I said, my ex for me is the most attractive. Physically speaking, for me, she's a 10. I would never, I've never been unfaithful to anybody anyway, but with somebody like her, you would think, well, why? I'm not going to get anyone like her anyway, so what's the point? Okay, that's not, maybe Hugh Grant was different with that. So then the next day or 2 days later, I go in and my ex is absolutely furious with me. And I don't think she tells me why or whatever. Maybe she comes to my apartment. I can't remember. And basically, this girl from reception had told her that, had told her that I'd asked her to go into a room with me, or I'd followed her in or something. Or maybe she, I mean, she didn't say anything happened. But the fact that the two of us, the hotel owner and a hotel employee, were in the room with the door open, not closed. The fact that we'd entered into a room, my girlfriend did not believe that nothing happened. She said, "Are you crazy?"
I'm not sure I understand.
Sorry, my phone thinks I'm speaking. Do I watch things? I'm speaking. And then we had to sack that girl. Well, not sack her, but we had to get rid of her, because then my girlfriend's getting jealous. And it would be like, like Tom Cruise being jealous of you or me or whatever. It's not even in the same league. But there you go.
It's the chismes, it's the gossip.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And again, it's big over there, and I'm sure it's big in hotels in general.
Yeah.
The employees, and again, even without exception, people, the managers, again, it's very hard. I've had employees in Spain, but my employees in Spain are in an office, let's say, a completely different business. Most of them would be South American. I did have one Colombian, actually, but the others would be from Peru, and then a few Dominicans, et cetera, et cetera. I wouldn't employ Spanish people in general. One, who I kind of fell for, I have to say, and she works for Ryanair now, because the customer service in Spain is awful, whereas Latin America, South American customer service is normally very good. So I do believe my staff did attend customers very well, because they're normally very friendly, as you know, people from Colombia.
Yeah.
But what I find, and it took me a while to kind of see it, is that, and I had an example the other day when I went to a Japanese restaurant here and was attended by a Spanish person, but then his boss, who's Colombian, came. I'll explain that in a moment, perhaps. What I find here is that if I'm on the phone to Telefonica or something like that here, or Movistar, and I'm speaking to a Spanish person, they will be pretty rude, in my opinion. However, they will know what they're talking about. It's just that they're rude. Their attitude sucks. If I'm on the phone to Claro or Movistar or whatever in Colombia, they'll be extremely polite. Don't have a clue what they're talking about. Once you go off the beaten path, I don't know what your experience is, but they're kind of, in Spain at least, and maybe other countries, I guess, they're relatively confrontational. They're happy to have an argument. In fact, sometimes they bring it on you. Whereas in Colombia, it doesn't happen. So basically, at this restaurant I went to very quickly, On the menu was helado de limón.
Yeah.
Lemon ice cream.
Yeah.
Couldn't be simpler. And I did kind of think, but it didn't quite, I mean, I should know. Because in Colombia, you would get lemon or mango ice cream in general. Right. In other countries, you won't. You will get sorbete.
Okay.
So, and of course, arrives sorbete. And I hate sorbete. I mean, to me, it's just like watery sugar. Okay. So the person that gave it to me, I called them and said, I'm sorry, this isn't ice cream, whatever. Can I change it, whatever? They called somebody else, Spanish. And eventually, the guy that had seated us in the first place, who seemed to be the boss-ish, was Colombian, and he came. Straight away, he said, what's the problem? I said, okay, it says it's ice cream. It's not ice cream. Ice cream is with milk. Sorbet is with water. And he said, okay, no problem. We'll change it.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Very friendly, very nice, whatever. He goes, I'm expecting a pistachio ice cream to come back to me in a few minutes. And he comes back with the same sorbete. And he says, sorry. Obviously, he's spoken to his boss, who's Spanish. And they won't let him change it. He said, here, sorbete is called ice cream, whatever. Sorry. Point is, I get into a bit of an argument with him because now I'm quite annoyed. And he won't enter into the argument at all. He's just, well, so again, they're quite non-confrontational. So polite, but maybe not. It gets kind of frustrating after a while.
And Gary, I think we could talk for hours, and you have material for your own podcast.
I might do that.
It has been absolutely, you've held me in thrall. I'm horrified and outraged at the sergeant. And at the same time, I am in absolute kind of awe of what you went through. I mean, the personal side of things, which is tethers into everything here, the personal side of things, has been truly horrific. I genuinely and generally tend to believe in people, and that has left me or found me wanting when it comes to employing members of the team in Colombia. I also think that managing a hotel or a business of this kind is it's slavery. I mean, you really are, and you being a 10-minute walk away is the worst possible thing because they know you're there. I also do you ever think back and just say, God, I was naive?
Obviously, so many mistakes. Obviously, as we said, maybe to be a partner with a guy that isn't 10 minutes away like me, to employ my ex-girlfriend. To me, it seems as if I was solving two problems at once. Well, not two problems, but taking investment and using it to help in my relationship, which was doomed from the start. In terms of the employees stealing from you, which, and I will use the word lying to you and hiding things, et cetera, et cetera. I don't think I was naive in that sense, and maybe in all the other senses, because to be honest, they were, I'm still, like I said, as I say, I'm really disappointed. I just didn't think they would. I can see it happening in general, but you don't maybe. And even though I had quite a bit of time in Colombia and I know the culture is a little bit, well, a lot different, I still didn't expect of the, let's say, the 12 people that maybe worked there over the space of 2 years, that were 2.5 years we had the hotel, I would say everybody stole from us. And that's really disappointing. I mean, if it was 10, 20, 30, 40%, okay. So a bit naive maybe to not suspect. Naive to, well, I don't think, I mean, I don't think it was naive to buy the hotel, because it did look like, and I think it could be, and it was at some point a good business. And I don't, not trying to disrespect anybody that has a hotel, but I don't think it's that difficult if you're involved yourself. What is difficult is what we just said, is leaving it in the hands of other people if you can't trust those people. And again, one thing is, you maybe have the same thing in your hotel. Okay, if our hotel did 40 to 60 million, it's good money, but still you can't really afford to pay somebody 10 million pesos a month, which isn't a fortune in reality, especially because you're Bogota in a decent area. And if you could afford to pay that, then maybe you would get a much better level of, maybe they would be trustworthy and maybe you wouldn't have to be as involved yourself. So maybe that was, and again, I don't know what your thoughts were again, but with 10 rooms, I always felt that if it was 15 rooms, you get to the point where then you can have two cleaners, you can have, and then it just makes more sense at 10 to me. Obviously, you have the same experience. It's just not quite there for the economies of scale, if you want to put it that way. I always felt if there was 18 or 20 rooms, the numbers would work a lot better, because you'd still only need three or four reception people, and yet you've got double the rooms. You just need one more. So instead, we had four staff for 10, let's say we could probably get away with six for 20.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it would have made more sense.
It's been revelatory speaking to you, Gary. Thank you for this time out of your day. I know you're busy, and I know that this will be a well listened to episode as soon as word gets out. And I'd like to thank you for being so very open and generous with the telling of the stories of your time, because it can't be easy. Maybe this has been somewhat cathartic for you. It can't be easy at all. So we're going to bring this to an end here. It's been a very revealing episode of the Columbia Calling podcast. So I'm just going to say thank you so much, Gary. And we're going to have you back on down the line to just share more experiences of random acts of bizarreness that took place in your life in Colombia.
whenever you want, more than happy to share. And yes, there's plenty more.
Oh, well, thank you very much to Gary Murray for sharing again his story. Not the most positive story from Colombia, but equally, it's a look at the society, it's a look at business, it's a look at culture, a look at someone's very personal experience. And that's what we aim to do here on the podcast. And of course, for everyone listening, please stay on the line, listen to a couple of messages from our sponsors, LatinNews.com and BNB Colombia Travel. .com as well, bnbcolombiatours.com, another of their websites. And of course, if you want to help us out, that's patreon.com/Columbia Calling. And Emily herself has a Substack too, Emily Hart. So thank you, everyone, and goodbye.
The Columbia Calling podcast is sponsored by Latin News, a leading source of political and economic analysis on Latin America and the Caribbean since 1967. Their flagship publication, the Latin American Weekly Report, provides a behind-the-scenes briefing on all the week's key developments throughout the region. Sign up for a 14-day free trial at latinnews.com. We are also sponsored by BNB Colombia Tours, which is a leading tour operator providing a wonderful range of exclusive small group shared tours for those over 50, along with customizable private tours to both popular and off-the-map destinations throughout this beautiful and diverse country. If you're interested in experiencing one of their unforgettable journeys through Colombia, be it a shared tour with like-minded travelers or creating a unique private package of your own, just complete the form on the Columbia Calling website, that's www.columbiacalling.co, or the BNB Colombia Tours website, that's www.bnbcolombia.com, and they'll be in touch within 24 hours to answer all of your questions and to start the planning of your exclusive Colombian adventure. So that's bnbcolombia.com and latinnews.com. Thank you for supporting our sponsors.